A question that I'm pondering lately a lot is, how does the ideal human being look like? Like, how, when I'm thinking about my highest version, how does it look like? Who is that? What kind of human being is that? And I want to share that today. And I'm trying to navigate the line between, this podcast is called Truth. And my intention is to share my individual truth. And at the same time, what really intrigues me nowadays is, what is my personal truth? Where I just believe something is right for me, and I share that, and I let everybody do whatever they feel called to do with that. And I have no expectation of, maybe this is your truth as well, because it's just mine. Something like, I like to live in Bali. That's my personal truth. And at the same time, I have no aim of trying to convince somebody to come to Bali. Or whenever people text me like, oh, I've been to Bali and it's not as great as I thought it would be when I was looking on Instagram, and I'm like, okay. Like, for me personally, I believe Bali is the greatest place I've ever been, and this feels like my home. But I totally recognize that for other people, that's not the case. Lately, I had a chat with my dad, and he visited us here in Bali after Lionel's birth, and it was super beautiful. And they spent a couple of weeks here, but he said, actually, no, my home is more in the temperate climates. I feel at home in Europe. And for me, this is like, okay, that's your truth. So there is this one part of truth that is like super individual, and everybody is invited to look for their individual truth. And I just see myself as somebody sharing mine. And maybe this resonates with you and it's your truth as well. And maybe through me sharing my truth, you recognize what is your truth, and it's maybe something completely opposite to what I'm sharing. And then there is another side of truth. And this is an absolute truth, something like gravity. Like, no matter, like, if I believe that gravity exists or I don't believe that gravity exists, it doesn't matter. Gravity exists. This was gravity. This was a beautiful reminder for everybody not watching the video podcast, but only the audio. At the same time, I was talking, in the moment I was talking about gravity, my microphone demonstrated me the effect of gravity and fell down. I love those coincidences. So yeah, it totally doesn't matter whether I believe that this exists or not. It exists. It's a truth. It's a universal truth. There is something like gravity on this planet. There are other planets where there is no gravity, or in space there is no gravity. But here on this Mother Earth, there's gravity. So this is an absolute truth. And I think we all agree on that. And lately, I'm trying to navigate the line between what is an absolute truth and what is an individual truth of mine. And when I look back to how I was communicating over the past years, in many occasions, I believe that an individual truth for me is an absolute truth for everybody. And I approached my communication infused with this belief. And I think that's one of the reasons why some people out there disagree with me, because oftentimes I was pretending that an individual truth for me is an absolute truth, and people felt triggered by that or said like, no, this is not the case, or they wanted to argue with me. Where when I would have been more sensitive with my communication, I would have realized, no, that's just my personal truth. And my personal truth doesn't need to be the absolute truth for everybody. So with my communication, I'm more and more coming from this place of humility, of acknowledging that this is just my personal truth. And I'm sharing that and I'm letting everybody do with that whatever feels right for them. And I have no intention of teaching something or preaching something or trying to make you believe something, whatever. So I'm getting a little bit more defensive with my communication of not being like super all in and say like, this is like the absolute truth, believe that and do that, but more take a step back and be like, I'm sharing just what is going on in my world. And it's really interesting to witness myself going through this process. And I still believe that there are a couple of absolute truths that happen to be like exactly my personal truths. And I'm trying to figure out where is the line and how do I communicate that, not being like super defensive with my communication and saying things like, yeah, in my world gravity exists, but maybe in your world not. You are free, do whatever you want, try to jump 10 meters high. No, stating like gravity exists. And a couple of things where I'm trying to figure out where is actually the line, and in certain areas being very offensive, stating what in my opinion is an absolute truth, like something like, and maybe I will trigger a couple of people with that, stating human beings belong to nature. The ideal environment for a human being is outside, is very immersed in nature. I strongly believe that at my deepest core, that the lifestyle that so many millions, billions of people on this planet are living in cities is very unhealthy. I believe living in spaces like this, not particularly in Bali, you can live like this in Germany or in the US or in New Zealand or wherever you like, but living like closely immersed in nature and being barefoot when the climate tolerates that, and being in connection with the earth and growing your own food. I think these are absolute truths. And most people don't see it that way and would argue with me. But I still believe that's an absolute truth and not like just my personal truth. So with this podcast, on my journey of figuring out how to navigate these lines between stating absolute truths with the intention of making you believe that as well, or making you not believe, making you realize that as well. Oh shit, Robert is living like this and that's his person, that's his personal truth, but actually I feel no, that's the right setting for every human being. And there are certain times where I'm trying to bring across an absolute truth and I'm really stating it like this. And then there are other times where I'm totally aware of, okay, this is only my truth and I'm grounded and centered within myself and I'm just sharing that and don't try to hype it. That was one of the patterns I shared in the last episode. That's one of my patterns where I'm coming from over the past 2, 3, 4 years, figuring out a personal truth and thinking that this is an absolute truth and really being super offensive with my communication. I don't want to do that anymore. And at the same time, I don't want to lose like me being a sensor for the bigger picture, me being a sensor for the whole of humanity and sharing that. And really being sensitive, where am I in this physical manifestation of Robert and speaking through that? Okay, I like Bali. And where am I a sensor for the bigger picture? And conveying an absolute truth. So with that being said, I believe that a lot of the characteristics of how I see myself as my ideal version are not only personal truths for me, but absolute truths. And that we as humanity should move more into the direction of what we are going to explore today. I'm very excited for that. Yeah. Because when we come back to Leonardo da Vinci, we realize that this was a man, and he coined this term that really fascinates me. He coined this term of being a Renaissance man. Like, the era during which he lived is called the Renaissance. And in this era, like before, in Europe, people were living through the Middle Ages, and it was really, like, I wouldn't say uncivilized, but really, like, primitive. And then through the Renaissance, people got more into contact with their, like, feminine, loving side, and became more like fascinated with the subtle things. Before, in the Middle Ages, were more like crusades and war and trying to survive, and it was more this energy. And then through the Renaissance, more and more artists, painters, musicians entered the scene, and people got more and more aware of the, like, more the finer things in life, I would say. So Leonardo da Vinci, along with Michelangelo and many, many, many others who were living in this time, center of Europe, Italy, Germany, like, those were this was like the center of the Renaissance area, the Renaissance era. And there was a man who was not concerned with survival, because survival was, okay, I can survive. But he was more fascinated by what is really possible. What is really possible? Stretching the limits of what is really possible, growing into my highest version, making the biggest possible contribution to society. That was his driver. And that's why he explored so many different areas. He, of course, became a painter, and he painted the Mona Lisa. I think that's the most famous part of himself. But actually, he said that painting sometimes felt more like a job to him, because in this era, people paid a lot for artists like him. And he painted a couple of. And it was not like, okay, I'm just doing my job and then afterwards I'm following my passion. He worked 3 years on the Mona Lisa. So that was a lot of dedication. But at the same time, we could say that this was more like, okay, I'm doing this and I can earn money, and then I'm diving into my like science studies and trying to figure out how the universe works and how the human body works. And he worked a lot with corpses, and he cut off the human body and trying to, like, how's everything working in the human body. And and then he was like working as an architect and building buildings. So there were so many parts inside himself. And they, when you look at his life, really contributed a lot to each other. I think he was just that good of a painter because he studied the human body as well. And he were only able to build amazing buildings as an architect because he spent a lot of time in nature, and he worked as a philosopher as well, and being inspired by how nature works and transferring that into his project as an architect, designing buildings. So all the areas that he was pursuing contributed greatly to his work. And I'm missing that in today's society. I'm really missing that. Really, really missing that. When I grew up, when I finished school, my parents always asked me, so what do you want to do afterwards? How do you want to, what do you want to work? Like, who do you want to become? And I'm always like trying to avoid, I was always trying to avoid this question, but this whole, because this whole notion of that I'm working in my job and this is who I am and I'm doing that for the rest of my life, this felt really wrong. This felt really, really wrong. And I think I can speak for the young generation that's coming up. It's growing up right now. It won't be working for them like it worked for 2-3 generations before them. Yeah. Because right now is the time where we realize that we actually need to dive into all these disciplines because the issues on our planet have gotten so complex that no matter how skilled you become in finance, or in nutrition, or in relationships, or in business, no matter how skilled you become in one of these areas, you are super one-sided and you're not able to contribute to the complexity we are facing on this planet right now. I believe most human beings walking on this planet are very one-sided and are not realizing their full potential because they are only focusing on one part of themselves, where they're maybe like naturally good at, they're having some talents. And I don't mean this only in the, this is your job, but I mean this as a like holistic view of the human being. And I want to share with you an image that really resonated with me as I came across that a couple of years ago. And it inspired me deeply to see myself as the highest version that's possible. And the version that I can grow into over the next years and decades. And this was when I read a book called The Four Archetypes of Masculinity. And the authors are sharing four archetypes. For, you could say, like identities that you are invited to cultivate inside yourself. And you can directly transfer that to femininity as well. So it's not only focused on men. And the four archetypes, I want to share them with you. And maybe they can lead us through this exploration. The four archetypes are called the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. And we could transfer that to the feminine side as well. So that would be the queen. What is the equivalent for the warrior? Maybe like the Amazon. Then we have the magician. That could be like the priestess. Or you could find your own term that resonates with you. I will share a little bit about the archetypes, so then you can really grasp them. And there is the lover. It could be, yeah, a lover as well. So when these four archetypes are coming together, the result is a well-rounded human being that's actually capable of contributing to the problems we have on this planet right now. And as long as we are only one-sided, or maybe in these four archetypes only two or three-sided, we won't be able to realize our full potential and we won't be able to really contribute to the world. And when I look back to the past years and all the challenges I had, all the problems I was facing in my life, I can pinpoint very clearly why I had these problems, because in these times, one or a couple of these archetypes were not manifested in my life. And I was approaching life with a one-sided, one-dimensional approach. And that's not working. That's really not working. And understanding these archetypes, understanding the different identities we are invited to cultivate inside ourselves, makes the path that's lying ahead of us really crystal clear. And it becomes super obvious where we are actually strong and where we are actually let's say like this, where we have a lot of potential to grow and what comes maybe not really natural to us. So let's dive into the four archetypes. Let's start with a warrior. I think when I say warrior, you already have an image in your head. The warrior energy is driven by his impulses. The warrior energy is really like action oriented, going for it, what you believe inside yourself, what you truly honor, like going for that, standing for that, fighting for that, protecting that. The warrior energy is really physical. It's really physical, gravity. Microphone was falling down again. The warrior energy is physical. And the warrior energy doesn't think about his problems. The warrior energy just acts. And the warrior energy is what enables us to set boundaries and to really protect our kingdom, whatever that may be, our business, our family, ourself, our children, whatever this person believes in. The warrior energy is there to provide for that and to protect that. So I think this is pretty, you have a good grasp of the warrior energy. Maybe some thoughts or some feelings come up in your body. That's beautiful. Let's talk about that later. Then we have the magician. The magician provides a stark contrast to the warrior energy. The magician is not impulse driven. The magician is really calm, centered. And the magician is very clever, very smart. The magician tries to find the best possible path leading forward. So the magician thinks twice. The magician is connected to his mental energy, to the mental realm. And when you look back to the past centuries, the magician was really a magician, like working with different medicines. We could even call the female version of the magician the medicine woman. The magician was really like the wise elder in the community where people came, to whom people came when they had some kind of problems, some kind of physical illnesses, or there were any fights going on. And then the magician entered the scene and was like diplomatically bringing everything into order again. The magician is about order. And then we have the third archetype. This is the lover. And the lover, as the name already gives us a feeling of the energy. Of course, the lover is just interested in the beautiful parts of life. The lover is an identity that's really enjoying, like sitting here in this beautiful place at the river, witnessing this nature, witnessing the beautiful earth underneath. Ah, yes. The lover is just purely in the moment, enjoying everything. The lover likes food. The lover likes sex. The lover likes everything that for our physical senses is appealing. The lover likes fine architecture. The lover likes a glass of wine. The lover likes beauty, art, music. You can see the lover as a like 100% connected in the moment, just following whatever you desire. This is the lover energy. And then all these three, you already see when you witness the warrior and you witness the magician and you witness the lover, you already get a glimpse of how contrary these energies are to each other. So already trying to incorporate these three in one being is very challenging. And then we have the fourth one, that's the king. And the king is the integrate. The king only is able to really fulfill its role and make his contribution when all the three other energies are integrated. So the king is the loving and at the same time really connected with himself and with his truth, authority that cares deeply about his people, his kingdom, and sees himself not as an like being higher, but actually coming from a servant attitude, like the king realizing, okay, when I no longer serve my kingdom, or I'm no longer the highest, when I'm as a human being, I'm no longer the perfect fit for the role of the king. I leave the throne and I step back, and I let somebody other care for the kingdom. So the king energy is really rare on this planet. Selfless leaders who are coming from this caring servant attitude, not in a way of like, okay, I have no confidence in my strength, that's why I'm just caring and I'm just providing. No, the king energy is totally aware of his power, and he puts his power to good use. And with this inner authority, he's able to command, and he's able to give direction, and he brings a lot of stability with this energy. Yeah. So these are the four archetypes. And I think you have a sense on where they're coming from and how they feel like. I can share so many examples of where I neglected one or more of these archetypes and where I didn't embody them. And this leading to many, many problems. And I see my journey right now as a step-by-step process of embodying these four identities inside myself more and more. What's coming really natural for me is the magician. The magician is, and I think we are living right now in the era of the magician. So everything is head focused, solution oriented, soaking up all the wisdom. Everything is so magician oriented. So this energy is really, really strong in the world. And at the same time, it's so sad that it's not like really connected with the highest potential of the magician. It's more like an immature magician that we are seeing on this planet. People pretending that they are so smart and they are going out on social media and, yeah, showing their magician side, but not from a really mature perspective, but more from a, hey, look how smart I am, and look how what I did, and how can I what I already achieved, and yeah. But the direction of the magician energy is comes very natural nowadays, and for me the same. Like growing up, I always realized that the more I know, the smarter I become, the more wisdom I collect, the higher my chances are that I'm thriving in life. And yeah, entrepreneurship is a classic manifestation of the magician energy. You know something, you create a product, you design something, and then you hire other people and you sell that and you earn money, and really creating this container, building an organization, building an enterprise, building a business, that's magician work. And I dove really deep into that over the past decade. Yeah, it's 10 years ago I started my first business. And yeah, so this energy comes really natural for me. And every time there is a problem in my life, I'm stepping into the magician. I'm trying to figure out, okay, what can I actually do? How can I outsmart the situation? What is the best possible way of going forward? But the thing is, a lot of problems can't be solved with the magician alone. The magician alone is very one-dimensional and is not equipped for the challenges we are facing nowadays. And the magician, and this is where the lover comes in, the magician is not here so that we have a good life, so that we are actually enjoying life. No. The magician is not here for that. When we are just following the magician, we are getting like incredibly smart and we become a professor sitting in front of his amazing library and having the answers to all the problems. This is really the energy of spiral dynamics, stage yellow, of becoming so smart that you understand everything and you can solve everything theoretically, but you're still not living a deeply fulfilling life. And that's really sad. That's really, really, really sad. This is what we need the lover energy for. And regarding the lover energy, there were times in my life where I dove really into that, and there were other times in my life where I didn't really embody the lover energy. Because the limiting belief of the magician is, you don't have time for that. There are so many things you need to work on. There are so many problems to solve. No, 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 no. You don't have time to just sit by the river for an hour, enjoy life. Okay, maybe for 20 minutes, but then you need to come back and work on your tasks. So we are very invited to cultivate this lover energy that's just in the moment and following his bliss and observing a butterfly for 5 minutes and standing in the kitchen for an hour preparing the most beautiful dinner for you and for your partner and being there and lighting a candle and preparing the massage oil and really setting everything up for an immensely fulfilling and exhilarating evening. This is the lover energy. And every time I'm stepping into this energy, I'm just like so blissful and so like, yeah, there's a deep, deep, deep desire to embody this energy more. Because when I'm in there, life is just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And then I realized that all the things my inner magician was thinking about and planning don't really matter. Don't really, really matter. And that being in the moment, following your impulses and being just in the moment, just in the flow, flowing from one beautiful spot to the other one. Really, the lover is as well about human connection, about really seeing each other, being with each other, physical contact, hugging each other, being intimate with each other. This is the lover energy. And to fully embody that, we need to let the magician talk and be in his, but you need to do this first and you have such a big to-do list and be really careful and think through your life twice. And when you meet a new person, be like, really check if they're a really good match and observe them and not dive into anything fully and without thinking it through. We need to put him aside and say, like, I totally see that you only want to protect me. And that's beautiful. And there will be certain times in my life where I need you fully. But for now, I'm in the lover energy. And I'm just enjoying this amazing ride that we call it life. Yeah. Over the past weeks and months, I got more and more into contact with the lover energy. And with that comes a certain surrender to life, because the magician always tries to be in control, tries to be tries to have an agenda and a 10-step plan and likes to know what comes next and what is the priority for next week. And the lover is just in the moment. And whenever I allow myself to be fully in the moment and to really follow what excites me most right now, the most amazing coincidences happen. Yeah, one serendipity here, one serendipity there. And then I realize all the plans that my inner magician tried to make were actually not useful. And I don't mean this in a way that the lover is better than the magician. When I would be, and maybe you, as you are hearing this or you are watching this, the lover energy is really strong in your life and you're like, oh, yes, 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 just enjoying everything. When we are only develop this characteristic of ours, we will run into a lot of troubles. When we didn't cultivate our inner magician, there will be certain times where we just get hit in the face. When a letter from the tax authority is coming in and saying like, oh, it's so beautiful that you were just following your bliss in your business life and you were just like hosting amazing, beautiful retreats. But you owe us 15,000 euro due next month. And we see this and we are slapped out of our lover energy and be like, shit, I didn't prepare for this. I didn't prepare for this. Yeah, and then we realize the value of the magician energy. And we realize how important it is to cultivate all these different aspects of ourselves. Yeah. Let's suppose that we are well on our way to integrating the magician energy and we are well on our way to integrating the lover energy. And later, maybe I will share a couple of examples how to do that. But first, I want to tie everything together. Then we need the warrior energy. And the warrior energy is the one on which I'm working the most right now. Because as I shared in my last podcast, one of my main growth areas right now and over the past years is learning to set boundaries. Because the combination of the lover and the magician in my life manifested great, great human beings that are working on great projects that are very inspiring and there is a lot of energy. And then my pattern was to commit to something like full on because I like the person and I like the project. And then I realized, oh shit, I actually don't have the capacity for that. And then later they said, I don't have the capacity, but you need to do this and you need to provide for that. And then I realized, oh shit, it's actually feel like I'm more running the project and not you, but you started it. And I'm spread like really thinly and I don't have the time and space for my groundedness and for my routines. And yeah, then things got downhill. And I strongly believe that if I had cultivated the warrior energy more, it would have kept me out of a lot of problems. Because the warrior energy realizes as something goes against your values, the minute as something is not in your highest alignment, the warrior energy says, no, that's your problem. No. I won't fix that for you. You need to fix that for yourself. The warrior energy is crystal clear on your boundaries. The warrior energy has no problem communicating them at all. Because the warrior energy knows like, I'm not here to sacrifice my needs for your well-being or for you not being triggered or for you not being overwhelmed. If something overwhelms you, if something triggers you, that's your problem. Of course, maybe my inner lover wants to support and maybe I can support, but not too much out of my own centeredness. And the warrior energy is really, really radical on that because it knows that you only serve from a cup that is full. And when you spread yourself too thinly, it's not working. And I I learned that over the past years. I learned that a lot. Yeah. I think that cultivating this inner warrior in today's times is not easy because we are living in a time where, over the past generations, the warrior energy has caused a lot of harm. The warrior energy goes to war. The warrior energy kills other people. And over the past decades and centuries, there was a lot of immature warrior energy. A warrior energy that just went just to kill, just to fight, just to be in a war. Of course, maybe there was this belief of going to war for your country or for your religion. But it's the mature warrior energy doesn't fight against something, it fights for something. It fights to protect the kingdom. The mature warrior energy, like, lets other people do their thing. The mature warrior energy has no intention at all of going to another country and invading them and raping their women and capturing all their possessions. No, the mature warrior energy is just, it's just there to protect your kingdom, so that in the kingdom everything can thrive, and as long as nothing happens, then the warrior energy is at peace and he can chill in the sun and is like, yeah, I'm just enjoying my lover life. But when there's an enemy coming, when there's something crossing your boundaries, then he's like up and he's like, okay, no, that's not working, and I'm ready to fight for that. Yeah. And because the warrior energy has caused a lot of pain, a lot of trauma, a lot of grief, I feel that there is a collective resistance of the warrior energy. And when we are that, a lot of people that are really in their lover energy perceive us as cold-hearted, as not in contact with our emotions, as being not sensitive. And there's a lot of judgment against the warrior energy. And inside myself, there was a lot of judgment against the warrior energy as well. In my upbringing, I learned that the warrior energy is, it's not safe to express that. From really her teenage years, my mom was suffering from depression, and my parents divorced when I was really young. I have a beautiful relationship with both of them, and I enjoyed, for the majority of my childhood, I enjoyed having both my parents and being mostly with my mother, but visiting my dad as well and having a great time there. There were many times where I really enjoyed that. But living with my mother and sensing her fragility and her needing a lot of time and space for herself immediately put me into a position of, okay, as long as I'm in the magician energy, and as long as I'm good at school and I'm supporting with the housework, and when there's a problem with my brother, he's my younger brother, 6 years younger than me, he was a lot in his lover energy, and he was just like, yeah, just doing whatever feels right. And when he didn't feel like go to the school, then he didn't went to the school and he just chilled with friends. And he was just full embodying his lover energy. And when there were problems arising out of that, me being in the magician energy, trying to support, trying to help, trying to fix. The magician tries to fix things. He gets a lot of joy out of fixing things and bringing things into order again. So I realized with the setting I was growing up in with my mother and my brother, there was no space for me to express my warrior energy. And when I was not happy with things, when I was upset with things, it was not safe to really express that because it couldn't be held. Yeah. And this is what I learned early in childhood. And that's why it doesn't come natural to me. And I'm working on that over the past years more and more and more and more. And I always attract, and that's the beauty of life, I always attract situations into my life, people into my life, where my boundaries are being violated, and I'm able to learn how to set them. And I'm able to learn how to navigate through all of that and not being like super only the warrior energy and don't caring about other people and being like super rude. And that's not me. That's totally not me. But I feel the importance of integrating this part more and more in order to be able to protect all the genius of the magician and all the joy of the lover. Like, these two incredible gifts can only be expressed when the warrior is there, ready for combat when it's needed. So I think this being my personal journey right now leads to every time I see somebody who is really strongly embodied in his magician energy, maybe in his lover energy as well. When I see somebody like this embracing the warrior energy more and more, I always get incredibly inspired. There was a moment a couple of weeks ago where I watched an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, Meta. And maybe you have seen the movie The Social Network. There you see how Facebook started, and he was this like geek sitting in his dorm living room, super skinny, and just hacking into his computer for 18 hours a day. And he was a nerd. He was an incredible nerd. And I always had this image of him being like this in my head. Now he's running Facebook an incredibly large organization. I was really wondering, how is he able to do that? Because only a nerd can run an organization with, I don't know, hundreds of thousands or even millions of employees. That's not possible. How is he doing that? I was really asking myself this question. Because in order to work on such a scale, you need to embody all the energies. It's not working otherwise. It will fall down. And then I saw an interview with him after like many years of not having watched anything or not having dove into his world. And then I watched an interview and I was like, wow, this guy looks really, really fit, really toned. Really, there were like his arms. Oh my God, I was very impressed. And then I dove deeper into his world. And I was checking his Instagram and I saw that since around a year, he's practicing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a kind of martial arts that is really physical. And I watched videos of him practicing the sports, and I got really inspired. I was really like, oh my God, this guy's killing it. And only because he is more and more embodying this side of him, I think everything that he's doing is working. Because at a certain scale, things fall apart when we are not a well-rounded person. So yeah, diving into martial arts is one path of integrating the warrior more. But it's, in the essence, it's about the connection with your body. It's the connection with your power. 1.5 weeks ago, I felt a calling. Okay, there's so many things going on right now, and with Lionel and with the business, and I just moved here and then was traveling to Europe and many things were going on. And I felt like, okay, I want to get more into shape. I want to get more into the physical energy. What is an easy challenge I can set myself? Okay, I will do 200 push-ups a day for the indefinite future until I realize I want to do something else. But I set myself the challenge, at least 200 push-ups a day. And now it evolved into 200. Gravity again. Microphone. And now it evolved into 250 push-ups a day. And that feels really good. Like 3 or 4 times a day, I just get on the floor for a couple of minutes and really give it all in. And the push-ups are a great exercise that uses many parts of your body. You really like flex your butt, your belly. You have the upper body, the arms, the chest, the shoulders. Every time I did a set of 50, 60, 70 push-ups, I feel like, yes, I'm ready for the day. It gives me such a deep, deep, deep connection with my power. And yeah, it's obvious. We as human beings are physical beings. Of course, we developed this brain, and this brain is the reason why we climbed on the top of evolution, and we are ruling the world. It's not because of our physical power. Try to win in an arm wrestling contest with a gorilla. Yeah, good luck on that. But of course, through developing our brains, we as human beings climbed up the ladder more and more and more and more. And now, yeah, we are ruling everything. But through going into the magician energy more and more and more and more and more, we become one-sided, and we need to cultivate the warrior energy again. And everything that physically grounds us and connects us with our bodies is very beneficial to integrating the warrior energy more and more. And of course, it's helpful to check in on your communication and really become aware when something happens that goes against your values, goes against what you want. Notice this moment inside yourself where you become aware of that and you feel like you want to speak your truth, you want to leave a conversation, you want to say like, no, I'm not up for that, I disagree, I see things differently. Every time this urge comes up, and then there is a kind of fear, when I say that, maybe people will not love me anymore, maybe people will there will be conflict. The core wound that lies between us and integrating the warrior energy fully, and that's the story of my life, is the wound of when I show up as my truest self and when I communicate my boundaries and when I really express what I think and what I feel and when I'm really 100% being myself and being selfishly focused on fulfilling my needs, then there will be a lot of conflict. And conflict leads to me being abandoned by other people and they not loving me anymore. That's the core wound. And I think I can speak for a lot of people. Maybe this resonates with you as well. Sometime in our upbringing, there was a moment, and there came more moments where we realized it's not safe to speak our truth. It's not safe to set our boundaries. It's much more safer to be in service and to support and to be nice. In my childhood, when I was nice, everything flowed perfectly. Everything flowed perfectly. And when I was not nice, then things were not flowing. Then things were difficult. And of course, we want to be loved. We want to everything to flow, everything to work. And that's why I figured out I need to be nice. But the warrior is not nice. The warrior is not nice. The warrior doesn't care how other people think of him. The warrior is just like, I'm here for my truth and I express my truth. And whatever that triggers in other people, it's totally their problem. That's the essence of the warrior. Yeah. And that's my growth journey right now. Becoming aware where I'm sacrificing my needs for other people. Becoming aware where I'm nice, where I'm not saying my truth. Becoming aware where I'm not 100% connected in my physical body, grounded in my physical body. And yeah, that's the base for everything. That's why every morning when I start into the day, first priority, nourishing the physical body. Really nourishing the physical body. I think that's the That's the number one recommendation I want to give in this episode. Nourish your physical body. Because the energy of the magician is really strong. Like the head energy of the magician is so strong that we need this counter energy. And both for the warrior and for the lover, grounding down, connecting with nature, providing for your basic human needs is what they really crave for. Is what they really crave for. When I start into my day and first hydrate, drink 1.5, 2 liters water, coconut water, and then I get on the yoga mat, do some stretching, and then do my push-ups and really move my body. After this 45 minutes of morning activation of my body, I feel so grounded. I have so much clarity inside myself. So that's the beauty. All these energies contribute to each other. Like as we learned from Leonardo da Vinci, he was only that good of a painter because he studied the human body and he studied nature. And all of these identities of him contributed greatly to each other. I think a painter that's only painting for 12 hours a day cannot be a really, really high level painter. Because you need the other parts. You need the other identities. And that's the beauty. When I start my day caring for my physical body, then the magician works and operates on a totally different level. After I did that, and then maybe have a first light breakfast, a watermelon or a dragon fruit, something that's really watery and is light on my body. Only one fruit, mono. After that, I'm like, okay, let's get to work. Let's build something. Let's invent something. And then the magician energy is really fired because he gets all this energy from the ground. And when we are an ungrounded magician and only in our heads, we are floating like, and we're making bad decisions. And yeah, that's one of my patterns over the past years. Whenever I was this ungrounded magician trying to do something, trying to build something, the stability was missing. Really, the stability and the groundedness was missing. And that's why, yeah, for me, and there we come back to what is my personal truth and what is an absolute truth. And I really strongly believe that connecting with your body, living in a setting where you are immersed in nature, where you spend many, many hours every day outdoors under the sunlight, walking barefoot as much as possible, I believe this is the truth for, this is like absolute truth. This is what every human being needs. I strongly believe that it's not just my truth and it feels good for me to live in this way. I actually believe it's good for everybody. But of course, the more we focused only on the magician energy and the more we departed from our physical human needs and the less we are in contact with our lover and with our warrior, the more we can tolerate living in an unnatural setting. Yeah. When we would really connect with our physical needs, a resistance to living in big cities, in skyscrapers, in the 12th floor, and getting your food delivered in a plastic box, and communicating with your friends through this technical device, and spending hours and hours every day on your phone. This is only possible when we cut off ourselves, when we separate ourselves from our physical bodies, from our warrior energy and from our lover energy. Because the lover always knows it at the deepest essence, it just wants to observe butterflies for an hour. This is what the lover energy truly desires. Be in the moment, observe the beauty around you. And when there's no beauty around you because you're sitting in a cubicle, the warrior and the lover energy is like, oh, this is so sad. Oh, there is no life here. Oh. When we connect to the lover energy and we are not living in a setting that's nourishing for our full being, the lover invites a deep sadness, a really deep, deep sadness. The lover can cry for hours and hours and days and weeks when he or she is not getting what he or she truly desires. When we cut off ourselves from nature, from ourselves, the lover is like, oh, this is so, so sad. And of course, by just being sad, nothing will change. We need to cultivate the warrior energy. That's like, oh my God, something is wrong. My inner lover, my inner sensor is telling me something is off. And then the warrior energy enters the stage and is like, okay, we are changing something. No, I don't want to live in this space anymore. I don't want to live with this person anymore. I don't want to work in this job anymore. And the warrior energy goes to work and fights for the deepest desires of the lover. So when they are met, the warrior can relax again. And the lover says like, thank you. Thank you for protecting my essence. Thank you for creating a space that truly feels right and where I can observe butterflies. Thank you for that. Now you've deserved the rest. Here, I prepared a coconut for you, and can I give you a massage? And there's a space in the sun, and relax. Relax from all the fights that you have fought, and for your service to the kingdom. Thank you. Take your time and relax. And then we are invited to observe butterflies. And when we observed enough butterflies, the magician enters the stage anymore and is like, okay, how can I, this beauty that I'm feeling right now, this paradise that I'm living in right now, and not, I don't mean just the external paradise, I mean the internal paradise as well. Like my life being so beautiful, how can I support other people on their journey? How can I build companies that are bringing this beauty into the world? And then the magician enters the scene and is like doing his magic, tries to spread all of that and tries to build organization and build products and heal people and do coaching and all the magic that is that is accessible to the magician. And then after the magician did his work, the end of the day, the lover takes over again and it's like, okay, let's invite friends, let's have a great party, let's munch on some amazing food, let's hug each other, let's kiss each other. Oh. And the warrior on the side is chilling and is like, I built all of this, I protected all of this. Have fun. Have fun. Have fun. Yeah. And this is how the kingdom works. Or the queendom. This is how it works. And of course, there are different dynamics when a man and a woman are coming together. I don't want to dive into this topic of polarity. That's a whole nother topic. I'm very excited to dive into that in the future. But for now, I want to really make the point crystal clear that a deeply fulfilling life and growing into our highest version and contributing to the world is only possible when we embrace all these three archetypes. When we develop a strong magician, a strong lover, and a strong warrior. Or let's phrase it more accurately, when we develop a strong warrior, a deeply loving lover, and a very smart magician. When these three are coming together, yeah. Then the king enters the scene, and the king doesn't have to do a lot because the kingdom is working very nicely, and the king is just being there and giving a little bit of direction and holding the space and showing the direction. Let's continue what is working, and that's it. until something arises that threatens the status quo, and then the warrior enters the scene again and fights for that. And of course, that's the beauty of life. Everything is changing all the time. So everything is adjusting. The moment the lover realizes something is off, something doesn't feel right anymore, the warrior enters the scene and the magician makes a plan, and they all are executing together what is really needed. So yeah, with all this imagery, I think you get a good glimpse into how these archetypes can play together to enrich our lives. Nourishing my body, taking a sip of water. I just did a quick break from recording, and I was just standing here on the river and looking into the distance, and I was feeling such a profound feeling of rightness, of yes, grounded and inspired at the same time. And it perfectly illustrated the point we were just talking before. When we are bringing all the energies together, we are a completely different human being. As I said, in the morning after I got up, I nourished my physical body, and I activated the warrior. And now recording this podcast is me, my inner magician thriving and explaining and sharing and talking and setting everything up. And that's the magician energy. And then, and later I'll be playing with my son, with Lionel, and I will be full on in the lover energy. And we were just like running around and just having fun. And then a nice meal, a carefully prepared evening salad with everything that excites me. And the lover will be going to bed fulfilled and happy. And yeah, every day these different energies are coming together. It's a totally different feeling than compared to when I'm one-sided. There are days in my life where I'm like, okay, for the past days, the magician energy was very strong. I did a lot in my business. Today is just relax. Just relax. Just flow. And I give the lover the full permission. Today, it's only about you. And it's so interesting that these days, most of the time, don't turn out that great as I expect them to turn out. Because it's one-sided. The best days are days where everything is coming together. When I just follow the lover energy, I'm like cuddling in bed, and then maybe watching a documentary and just chilling. And at a certain point, the warrior enters the scene and is like, "Hey, get up, do something, go exercise, work." So and then I follow this impulse of the warrior, and I do an intense workout and really activating my body. And then I get inspired to draft some ideas for future projects, and the magician is taking over and is full on in his game. And then afterwards, the lover comes back and is like, "Wow, I got really inspired by you, warrior, and by you, magician, following your, and now it's my game." And then it's about food, it's about relationship, it's about pleasure, it's about intimacy. And these days are the greatest. These days are really the greatest days. They're deeply fulfilling, and you are falling into bed at the end of the day, and it's like, ah, oh, yeah. So when I look into the future, I envision myself as the highest possible embodiment of the magician, of the warrior, and of the lover. And I see myself as an incredibly, incredibly fit human being. Like, when I look into the mirror, I see the vibrancy, I see the vitality, I see like that my body is really a manifestation of all the energy that I'm feeling inside myself, and that I'm like really ripped, and I'm able to do things with my body that most people can't even think of, and that I'm climbing like here. I don't see myself going to the gym 5 times a week. Like, for my inner lover, the gym is like, ugh. No, like this unnatural setting and working with some kind of some weights, and everybody is disconnected from their nature and just pushing like their inner warrior. No, this feels off. Like, what the lover enjoys is awakening the inner warrior through climbing through forests and being in nature and jumping and climbing and rolling and like activating my body in this natural setting and swimming. And I'm a couple of days ago I had the thought, actually I want to build my own boat. I want to build a small canoe, and then I want to explore like up and down the river. And I want to steer my own boat through this river. And this feels like the merging of the lover and the warrior, like getting a fit body in a natural setting where I'm at the same time enjoying the sunlight. This feels right. So I envision myself as this super ripped, super strong, super connected man that at the same time is very careful, very tender, appreciates the finer things in life, is very caring, is very like in contact with his inner child, the small boy that just wants to play and that wants to fool around and that can spend all day just like playing with my son and playing with other children and goofing around and yeah, is really in close contact with his inner child, and at the same time be a very passionate lover in the truest essence of the lover in an intimate relationship. And yeah, practicing this intimacy with the fire of the warrior and the love and the care of the lover, and bringing these two together and spending nights that you won't ever forget with all the ecstasy and all the flow and all the oh my god that can be there, and being nourished, and my partner being nourished by what we were able to experience when our bodies co-create and when our bodies merge and when our bodies flow into each other. And then the next morning waking up and being full on in the magician energy and say, okay, let's get to work. Let's build something. Let's change the world. Let's make an impact. Let's spread all the gifts that I'm fortunate enough to have received. And that's really step forward as agents of change, as agents of love, of peace. And they're combining the warrior and the magician making this like amazingly sophisticated master plan and creating products and envisioning things and building organizations on a big scale, and the warrior going for it. Yeah. And these dimensions flowing into each other effortlessly and perfectly. This is how I'm envisioning myself, my highest version. Yeah. Having the strength and the force of the warrior, having the care and the love and the excitement of the lover, and having the smartness and the innovation, and at the same time the detachment. A strong characteristic when we fully embody the magician is that we are kind of attached, that we are kind of detached, and that's very important. That's very, very, very important, because it enables us a kind of objectivity of like, okay, now I'm having a blast and I'm having the greatest time of my life, but I'm not attached to it, and maybe in the future I will be in a state of suffering. I will be in a state of sadness. I will be in a state of grief, and that's totally fine as well. The magician brings a kind of neutrality into everything, that we don't identify with our relationships, that we don't identify with our business, that we don't identify with our physical body. All of these are just things that we created, that we are on a certain scale, but on a deeper level, that we are not. The magician knows that we are this just divine soul that made the decision to incarnate into this, like incarnate, it went into flesh. The soul went into flesh, into this physical body incarnate. And is enjoying this ride and is making his experiences. And the magician gives a certain neutrality and just sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. Yeah, been there, done that. I was on this experience many, many, many times, in different times, and in different manifestations, in different bodies. Nothing to worry about. And with this kind of neutrality, the lover and the warrior are safe and invited to express their gifts and to play their parts in the bigger orchestra of life. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I envision myself. And that's why I believe it's fundamental, not just for me. I believe this is an absolute truth. I think it's fundamental for all of us to cultivate these different energies. Aubrey Marcus is one of my role models in how, as a man, how does it look like when you, as a man, embody all these different aspects. I feel the strong warrior in him. I feel the caring lover, and I feel the witty magician. I just love his content. I think he's a beautiful human being, well-rounded. I don't consume content from a lot of people, because most of the people I see out there are strong in one of the areas but lack the other sides. And I want to learn from people who are actually embodying what I'm on the journey to embody right now. So I'm closely following Aubrey's content, and he used the term that really resonated with me. He sees himself of being a warrior poet. For him, the expression of his warrior poet is this, like, really really aggressive and ruthless and fighting for everything he believes in, fighting for his kingdom. This really primal warrior that makes love with the lover and writes poems for his partner and observes butterflies. And yeah, for me, this image of the warrior poet is a beautiful one. Is a really beautiful one. I think that's one of the reasons why I really resonate with Aubrey's work and with him as a human being. And I want to invite you to look for role models, human beings that are actually embodying all of what you are looking to embody. Not just one side, not just this super smart intellectual entrepreneur, or this you see that in spirituality a lot. People are just in their lover energy and just like flowing around from one retreat to another, practicing open relationship and practicing free love and practicing polyamory, and we are like, oh yeah, and everything is so beautiful, and we are talking about our emotions, but the warrior energy is missing and the magician energy is missing. What are you building in the world? Like, how are you caring for your body? How are you exercising your body? How are you coming into your fittest, in your most primal version? And what is the impact that you are making? And like, let me see all of you. Whenever I'm seeing just one-sided human beings, there is a certain amount of, yeah, okay. And I have a lot of understanding for that. I don't judge that because I know that from my own lives. When I look back into the past years, I've never been at a moment where I integrated all of these three energies equally. Never done that. And at the same time, realizing what I was able to accomplish already, what I was able to bring into the world already, the amount of happiness and the amount of joy I was able to experience, while at the same time, never in my life integrating all these three energies equally. And that gives me a lot of anticipation for the future and a feeling of, wow, what is actually possible? What is actually possible when we up our game? Not in a kind of, okay, I need to hustle more, I need to grind more, I need to be more this, and only when I'm the perfect embodiment of all the three energies, then I'm a worthy human being. No. That's not what it's about. That's totally not what it's about. We are on the journey. Everything is perfect as it is. Our inner magician tells us everything is perfect as it is. In the here and now, there is no rush. There is no rush. Everything is... Oh my God. Oh, I just saw a dog that drowned in the river, and he was, oh, a dead dog. I'm sorry that I needed to share this with you. Oh. I'm sorry that I needed to see this. That's a test for my inner magician that everything is happening perfectly. And that's nature as well. But my inner lover is very sad now. It's very sad. And the inner warrior says, you need to be strong, you need to fight, you need to know in which waters you are playing. You need to be prepared to not get drowned by reality, not get drowned by other people's agendas. You need to be strong. And in all of these aspects, there is a certain truth. The sadness of the lover is very true. The strength of the warrior is very true. And the detachment of the magician is very true as well. And when we can integrate all three of them, we are up for a lot of expansion, grounded expansion, and we are finally able to show up as the versions of ourselves that the world needs right now. Yeah. And that's why I'm determined as fuck to realize all of this potential inside myself. I'm very determined. I think it's the number one journey that I'm on. Because the farther I come on this journey, everything else falls into place. In my relationships, in my business, in my role as a father, everything falls into place. This is the role model that I want to be for my son. The caring, heart-driven lover, the strong, determined lover, and the smart and in some way kind of detached, neutral magician. This is the kind of role model I want to be for my son. And I believe this is the kind of role models we need to be for the next generation. Yeah. This is what the world asks us. to step fully into our highest version. And the different archetypes are potentially beneficial to illustrate where we are lacking right now and where we are strong right now and where we are invited to look at. And at the same time, it's just a mental model. It's nothing I'm attached to, but it gives me some kind of clarity and it supports me on my path. And at the same time, it's limiting because it's not only about these three or four archetypes. No. Life is so multifaceted. Life is so complex. It's about 1,000 different archetypes that we are invited to, embody. And I want to invite you to create your own archetypes, to create your own names, to create your own images, to create your own visions of yourself with whatever that that entails for you. Yeah. Whatever feels good, whatever feels aligned for you. Use that. But be aware that your full potential can only be realized by things that are in one way or the other, in opposites to each other. We have a certain tendency, I noticed that in myself as well, I have a certain tendency to focus on the things where I'm really good at and to really hone in on the magician and to be more smart and to fix. That's a trap of the magician. To fix everything by becoming more attached and to meditating everything every day for 2 hours. This is what my inner magician tells me. When there's trouble around me and when there are things going on that are difficult and they are painful and they are not aligned, meditate for 2 hours, become 100% attached, and then everything will be all right. But no. Certain times call for our inner warriors. And it's not about sitting on your meditation pillow for 2 hours. It's about taking action. It's about setting boundaries. It's about going for it. It's about going for it. It's about getting into conflict. It's about getting into fights. It's about getting physical. But not every situation calls for our inner warrior. There are certain fights that cannot be won through fighting. There are certain fights that can solve by meditation. Yes. And there are certain fights that are just not worth fighting. Certain moments where it's just wiser to observe butterflies and to follow our highest excitement without participating in so many of the fights that people around us and the society are participating in. And to develop the wisdom to know which is the modus operandi that is called for right now. This is what the king or the queen truly embodies. Having all these energies at your disposal and knowing exactly what is needed right now. Yeah. This world calls for more mature kings and more mature queens that are embodying everything that they truly are. This is what the world calls for. I'm hearing the call. And maybe this podcast was an invitation for you to hear the call as well. Not for yourself as well, but mostly for humanity and for all living beings and for this earth, for this universe. Because when more people are showing up, we as human beings, we are the cause of all the problems, and at the same time, we are the solution. When more and more of us show up as their highest versions, as their grounded kings, as their grounded queens, I think it needs only 1%, maybe even less than 1%. 1% of humanity of really embodying this will solve everything for the other 99%, because they approach other people with so much love and with so much non-judgmental, and at the same time they remind the others of their power. With a certain amount of detachment, I think 1% of really mature kings and really mature queens is enough to change this planet massively. The world will be a totally different place when a small number of human beings are reaching this level in their development. Yeah, I totally believe that. Because one person has an enormous ripple effect into everything they are doing in their business and their relationship and their friendship and their family. The ripple effect, like how I'm treating everything around me, how I'm treating this planet. I have such an enormous power. Of course, one human being alone doesn't have the power to change the whole world. But one human being alone has the power to change themselves, and through that, changing other people around you. Not by force, not by you need to do this, but because they are leading by example. And this invites others around them as well to step forward. And this in return invites others around them to step forward as well. And then together we are manifesting the more beautiful world our hearts now as possible. The kingdom of love that the warrior sacrifices his life for protecting. Yeah. Wow. That was intense. That was deep. That was coming out of my heart. I feel enormously inspired now. And at the same time, very grounded. Grounded expansion. Grounded expansion. Yeah. Maybe this is your invitation to take a couple of moments, maybe a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days to create an image inside yourself of how do you envision your highest version? How do you envision the ideal human being that you can become? And maybe the different archetypes are supportive for you. Maybe not, then just discard them. And from this image inside yourself, maybe it's not an image, maybe it's a feeling, then approach your life. Approach the challenges that you're having right now. Approach the turbulent waters that you're navigating currently. Approach your relationships, approach your business, approach your everything that you're doing. Yeah. Complete. Everything is said. Complete. Thank you for your time. Thank you for investing your most valuable resource into what I needed to share. I hope that it brought value to you. At the same time, my inner magician says, if not, that's totally fine for me as well. Because for me, it brought immense value. Reflecting on all that was immensely valuable for me. And at the same time, the inner lover indulges in the feeling of me sitting here in my perfect setting on the river and being able to share that through technologies that the magician invented and speak to people's hearts and awaken the inner warrior, awaken the inner lover, awaken the inner magician. Yeah, my inner lover indulges in this feeling and finds it really, really beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, if that was of any value to you and you feel the urge to contribute to what I'm doing, you find a link in the show notes. This podcast is a gift to the world. And if you feel the calling to give a gift in return, I appreciate that. This enables me to continue this work, continue spreading my truth, and in some occasions, continue spreading absolute truth wherever the line is, still figuring out that. Yeah, thank you for your contribution. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Thank you for stepping forward. Yeah. As a sensor and as a representative of humanity, I thank you for that. That's what is needed in times like these. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.